Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Thursday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Cam looks like a kid on Christmas morning. For as excited as Nate was about the draft, I think Cam is five times excited about Endgame dropping tonight. We got, what, four more movie reviews we got to get through today? We'll blow through them. It's draft day. Talk a lot about the draft. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Doing well, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. So today is the day, huh?
Well, it's one of the days, not the day. There are 3 days these days.
You're talking about the draft.
Oh.
I was thinking about Cam's Endgame. It premieres tonight.
It does.
This is just one movie, right?
Tis.
3 hours?
3 hours, one movie. Basically 2.5 of these new Game of Thrones episodes. He's getting ready to watch 2.5 TV episodes.
No pee breaks, Cam says. Can't even get up in the middle of this thing, can you?
You could.
You'd miss.
You gotta just be very diligent. I haven't had as much luck as I used to have. I don't know if it's getting older or if it's just me not timing things out. But the last, like, two movies I've went to, I've had to make a halfway run to the bathroom. Because, look, I mean, one of my favorite parts, if not my favorite part of actually going to the movies, is the popcorn and the Coke. And I usually get through the popcorn and the Coke almost by the previews, but...
You get that large Coke?
Yeah.
They give you, like, that 70-ounce Coke.
I mean, come on. I mean, I split it. It's not just me by myself, but I'm not going to... not get the biggest one for 50 cents more. Like, I mean, that's just right. Fiscally irresponsible.
Plus, you get free refills.
I never get the refills anymore, though.
Oh.
Or rarely.
Well, it's ridiculous because if you get it's like a 70-ounce Coke and then you get the refill. And
yeah.
It's
140 ounces.
Yeah, it's a lot of Coke.
That's a lot of soda and sugar. But I've had to get up during, like, the last two movies and run to the bathroom. And that's the fastest I ever walk is when I hit that corner when I come down the steps of the movie and head to the exit. Storm into the bathroom, in and out, about as efficient as you could be. 45 seconds, back in my seat.
I think that's just a part of getting older. I've even noticed that.
Yeah.
That I pee more than I used to.
Yeah.
When I was like a teenager. Even in, 10, 15 years' time, I've noticed that.
But we got four more movie reviews that Cam will blow through today. I don't know if it was me not calling you back, Cam, me not texting you back, or you just – did you get a little vulnerable yesterday when people started rebelling against the movie reviews a little bit? You didn't like the phone call aspect of it? Yeah. You decided these last four movies deserve better treatment than the phone call. I didn't know if you got a little vulnerable out there because you had a couple people blowing back on the movie reviews. You weren't in person. You're on the phone. It wasn't as magical, I must admit, but – you also did forget a key part of Thor losing an eye. Is he still without an eye, or did he get it back? We'll touch on it today. Oh, can't wait. That's a tease. Cam is now a radio professional. That's a tease.
Cam's going to break that down today. He heard people criticizing him for saying that he forgot that. He's going to break that down in full detail today.
It's going to be a big bounce back episode today from intern Cam, and I'm looking forward. He's got his A game today. I'm pumped. The draft tonight. I don't know how much people care. The Warriors lost again at home last night to the Clippers. But let's start with the draft. scale of 1 to 10, your interest in the draft tonight, Cody McClure?
It's an event that I will watch tonight. I probably won't watch tomorrow or Saturday, but I'll watch tonight.
Do you know what scale of 1 to 10 means? It means you give me a number.
5.8.
5.8 out of 10? It's not bad. It's pretty good. What about 1 out of 40?
1 out of 40?
Yeah.
Boy, that's tough. 19.
Okay. All right. It's about halfway.
Yeah.
A little under half. Was not into the draft at all for most of this offseason, but it took one little sentence getting tweeted out yesterday that brought me back in.
What was that?
That Daniel Snyder is taking control of the Washington Redskins draft. Their owner, who no one really gives credit to for being smart, has said, you know what, I'm making the decisions here. That almost assuredly means they are going to trade up and look for a quarterback, and that all of a sudden got me really excited just for all the potential trades that could happen. As all of a sudden these franchises start trying to talk themselves into quarterbacks. Like all of a sudden everyone's like, you know what? We really just can't afford to miss out on Drew Lock. We can't afford to let him get past 13. Anyone could take him at that point, and we got to get him.
I mean, what if he becomes a star?
What if?
And we're the team that passed on Drew Lock. We're not going to be known as that team.
I mean, if you throw in his college footage against good teams, he doesn't look so good. But, man, did you see what he did to Toledo? This guy, he's ready.
Did you see that Delaware State game? Scored over 70 points.
And then you got a similar phenomenon with Daniel Jones, which I will admit, I liked Daniel Jones when I watched Duke play. I thought he was big. I thought he was strong. He was athletic. And I thought he would be a good quarterback. And then he got to the draft time, and everyone's like, yeah, he's a second-round pick. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Whatever, I get it. And now all of a sudden, everyone wants Daniel Jones too. Everyone's talking themselves into, you know, we really got to get this quarterback from Duke. I'll say that again. Everyone is now convinced that they have to go get a quarterback from Duke.
I mean, I'd take him over Drew Lock, if nothing else for the fact that he worked with David Cutcliffe.
Well, I mean, that is the original Sean McVay, right?
Yeah.
The original idea of like, hey, if you work with Sean McVay, you deserve a job. I feel like that David Cutcliffe's kind of gotten that respect too. Maybe not as drastically, but it's had a nice comeback because now he's getting the Sean McVay treatment of, well, you know, David Cutcliffe coached the Mannings and Daniel Jones, he's pretty big. He's got a Manning-type body.
He looks like a Manning. I mean, David Cutcliffe, we know that he has good skills when it comes to coaching quarterbacks. So, I mean, just that alone to me, that makes him more valuable than Drew Lock.
But, I mean, has he had any good pros besides the Mannings? I mean, none from Tennessee. None from his time at Tennessee.
No, but he coached the Mannings.
He did coach the Mannings.
Both of them. Not just Peyton, Eli, too. So I think that speaks volumes.
I mean, I'm sure Archie's genetics and Archie's tutelage from a young age probably helped a lot, too, but...
It's not like those guys knew how to play quarterback before getting with Cutcliffe. I don't know. I do think Cutcliffe is a great offensive mind.
I do, too, but I was just asking, like, can we point to anybody except the Mannings of quarterbacks that he has turned successful?
Daniel Jones.
Turned him into a first-round pick, apparently.
Yeah.
Touche.
About to get drafted.
Teams fighting for him.
He just seems more appealing than Drew Lock, though.
I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Simply because Drew Lock just never did anything in the big games. Anytime Drew Lock went up against a good defense, he was... You know, he did nothing. Nothing at all.
I'm not very good when it comes to projecting who's going to be successful and who's not going to be successful around draft time. Or at least I don't feel like I'm very good. You know, until the moment it was announced, I refused to believe the idea that Baker Mayfield was going first overall last year.
Yeah, and then I remember that.
And then when he did go first overall, I didn't think he would be very good in Cleveland. And Baker Mayfield, pretty damn good this year.
I've always liked Baker's arrogance.
Yeah. He carried himself a certain way through every stage of his career, and he's carried himself that way in the NFL. And I mean, maybe Baker Mayfield's not going to be as good as everyone thinks he's going to be. Maybe now the hype has gone too far the other way. But I think everyone, even the doubters of Baker Mayfield, would have to stop and say he had a very, very successful year one.
I've just always thought he's a winner. He's got that true confidence.
Sure.
It's real. You can tell it's 100% real. You can call it a little arrogant, a little cocky if you want to, but he's got it. So, you know, I don't know who, if there's a guy like that in this draft. Who are the best quarterback options? Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I saw Kuiper had Jarrett
Stidham. Dwayne Haskins is number two.
Maybe Haskins is the best bet.
Feels like some teams are going to talk themselves into some quarterbacks, and most of these probably will get them fired. Although, again, I don't feel like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. Like, I'm fully acknowledging that before we get into talking about this. I don't think anybody really does, because I remember people scoffing at Carson Wentz and Jared Goff when they got drafted. Right? Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were supposed to be a very underwhelming quarterback draft class that was following the elite draft class of Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston.
Yep, and we see how that's turned out.
The opposite.
Yeah, complete opposite.
We looked at Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston and said, both these guys are winners. You can't go wrong with either of these two. This is going to be the next big quarterback rivalry. Magic and Bird.
And maybe, like, Drew Lock is going to be a great NFL quarterback.
I mean, I feel like if you just go through the list of first-round quarterbacks in recent history who have been good, the ones who have actually succeeded are probably some of the ones you didn't think were. Like, I just think back to the quarterback class with Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan, and I don't think anyone thought that was a good quarterback draft class, right? You had a guy from Delaware who couldn't play at Pittsburgh.
Boston College.
And Boston College. And both those guys have been mainstays in the playoffs and have both been pretty good. And Matt Ryan won an MVP, and Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl MVP. Well,
you know, it's like what we just said about...
Maybe not. Maybe the kick returner actually won that.
Who,
MVP.
Matt Ryan?
No. Matt Ryan does have an MVP. But I think Jacoby Jones stole the Super Bowl MVP from him, if I'm not mistaken. Now I'm just confused myself. Flacco won it?
Flacco won a Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah.
He never won league MVP.
No.
But they both have some sort of MVP.
Well, I'm just saying they've both been good.
Yeah.
Like, even
they've both had very high highs.
Like, I'm saying, like, even when you look at Joe Flacco now, you look and say Joe Flacco's had a career that is A, worthy of being drafted in the first round, and B, pretty damn good. Yeah, Flacco won his MVP.
I mean, we're sitting there talking about, like, Drew Lock. You know, his numbers were inflated against bad teams, and he never did anything against a good defense. But I'm sure if you look back in time, we would probably have the same conversation about guys like Carson Wentz, guys like Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what kind of teams were they playing? And Josh Allen, I mean, and who knows if he's going to be a good quarterback, but
I think everyone thinks Carson Wentz is. Carson Wentz was a good quarterback before getting injured. Now, I don't know what he projects now coming back from injury. Last year he was up and down, but I think he proved in his first, you know, year and a half that he was really, really good.
Yeah, and I doubt if we look back at Carson Wentz, we find any just superb defenses he lit up.
Sure, sure.
You know? North Dakota State, right?
I believe that was, I believe so.
I think they, didn't they beat Iowa?
Yeah, but I mean,
It's not like an SEC defense.
Yeah, I mean you can't just point to one game. Like, well, he beat Iowa.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I wonder what his I would like to see his numbers in that game.
He wasn't playing very many NFL players.
Right. Same with Josh Allen.
Same with Joe Flacco.
Matt Ryan. Well, he was in the ACC.
He was in the ACC.
So maybe.
Or maybe he was still in the
ACC. But he was in the ACC before
they
had.
I don't know if Boston College was in the ACC at that point. I think they were.
Big East?
No, I believe they were ACC.
Well, he was playing before Clemson had any big-time players. Sure. So. But Florida State, I'm sure, still. They were probably still pretty loaded.
Okay.
Bobby Bowden.
We'll keep talking the draft. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Here in the studios, we always like to have First Take on in the background. Right there, smack dab in the front, for some reason, we have someone rocking a Tennessee Vols pullover.
We also have a guy with a monstrous set of ears. Look at that guy to the left.
I believe that's the guy in the Tennessee pullover.
Oh, it was?
I believe so.
Oh. Well, he's got big ears.
He might be a fan.
He's not listening right now.
Might be able to still hear you in Nashville.
Well, he's got big ears.
How do we feel about that move? I see Tennessee gear everywhere always, like the Masters, every college event ever. I feel like if you're doing the draft, maybe wear some NFL gear. Maybe if you're going to hit Nashville up for draft day, maybe wear some NFL gear. Although maybe he's just going to support Vols in the draft this year. I guess that reminds me. Let's go to Ben Lee. Ben Lee will have the update on Tennessee football's NFL draft prospects for the 2019 draft. Let's go to Ben. Cody, what do you think about Arizona and Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray was a minus 1,200 favorite to be the number one pick. It has since drastically gone down. Now, he's still the favorite, but I believe it went all the way down to minus 400.
I don't think that Kyler Murray would be my number one pick. There's got to be there are guys who are more valuable than Kyler Murray in this draft. Kyler Murray, to me, is a risk, a coin flip, if you will. So he seems to me like more of a middle round kind of guy. I could see a better team taking him.
Now he has gone down to minus 375 in terms of first player drafted overall. And I remember, wasn't Baker Mayfield like 5-1 at this time last year? Like on that Thursday, didn't we talk about it? And you're like, hey, I really like the idea of Baker Mayfield at 5-1.
That sounds right, yeah.
At least it was the week leading up to it.
I'm not confident with Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray has much better odds to go number one than Baker Mayfield did.
Much better.
Much, much better. Minus 375.
That means you bet $375 to win 100.
But if you eliminate the Cardinals from that equation, he's probably not the favorite.
That's what I would like to know. I would like to know what happens if the Cardinals don't take Murray. Like, how do these other teams feel about him? Is Kyler Murray this can't-miss NFL prospect, at quarterback?
No.
Because usually at number one, you're supposed to be looking for can't-misses. Or can't-misses. That works. Whatever. You're supposed to be looking for guys who you think are studs.
Can't-miss prospects.
And do the rest of the teams feel like Kyler Murray is that? Because I remember week 17, Titans lose to the Colts. I am cold, freezing, drunk, tired, laying in bed after the game. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with Mariota. Draft Kyler Murray at 19. Let's start planning for the future. And I just remember a whole bunch of Titans fans calling me idiot, saying, Kyler Murray's not going in the first round. Kyler Murray's not a top 20 pick. Kyler Murray is a second or third day pick at best. He'll play baseball because he can't play quarterback in the NFL. Like, that was the narrative around him, week 17, right after the NFL's regular season ended. Now all of a sudden he's the number one overall pick, which makes me – go ahead.
He's just so small. He's 5'10", 190 pounds. And everybody points to Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson is a seasoned vet, and I think Russell Wilson is pretty unique in the fact that he's made it as far as he has.
Russell Wilson's done a good job protecting himself. Russell Wilson also came in. Like, Russell Wilson's also jacked.
Yeah, he's like 215. Yeah.
He's 206 according to this, but he may be a little heavier. And, yeah, he just looks.
He just looks bulkier.
He looks very strong. Kyler Murray looks like a kid. You know, which he is. I mean, obviously he's a lot younger than Russell Wilson, but I just see him getting just destroyed.
I'm just really curious as to what these other teams feel about him. Because like I said, the narrative around him right after the NFL season, right after he wins the Heisman, all of that was, no, he's not a top 20 pick. The Titans can't take him at 19. That's wasted a pick. And now all of a sudden he's a runaway number one pick, or the favorite to be the number one pick. Now is it because Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury just like him? Or is it because he's this big-time prospect that if it wasn't for Arizona, somebody still takes him?
Right, like if Arizona doesn't get Kyler Murray, how far does he slip?
Right, does Oakland at number four sit there and say, you know what, we got Derek Carr, but we don't trust Derek Carr. Let's take Kyler Murray to be the quarterback of our future and sell some tickets in Las Vegas next 2 years from now.
I see Gruden taking somebody like Drew Lock. Before he takes Kyler Murray.
I wouldn't be surprised if Oakland took, like you said, Drew Lock or Daniel Jones with one of their later picks. Because, you know, they have three first-round picks. So, at number four, I don't think they do that. If they do, my God.
I don't think they're, yeah.
Tar and Feather, John Gruden and Mike Mayock. But I do think that you would think John Gruden and Mike Mayock are still slaves to the idea of the traditional quarterback body. They will look at Daniel Jones and say, man, I see some Peyton and Eli Manning there. Hopefully more Peyton than Eli, but still.
That's the kind of stuff that gets Gruden going in the morning.
Ah.
Whereas,
large body.
He's got a picture of Peyton Manning on his ceiling,
and
I would
imagine.
You know,
if you played at Duke under Cutcliffe, you got football IQ.
You know Gruden's saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Gruden's not going to take a guy like Kyler Murray, I don't think.
That's just what I would like to know. I wish I could give somebody some truth serum and get an answer because – it feels like Kyler Murray wouldn't be a top five pick at all without Arizona. How low do you have to go? My whole thinking, you know, if you go back and pull the footage of me and you talking about Kyler Murray, because I did think Kyler Murray was a first-round quarterback. I did think he could play quarterback in the NFL. I just thought it would be like number 13 to the Dolphins. That's where I kept coming back to was the Dolphins take Kyler Murray at 13.
It's not going to be – I don't think it'll be a really good team down. Like, it'll either be in the middle or the second round, right? Because he's not going to go unless somebody like the Patriots were to take him have a backup for Tom. I mean,
sure.
I don't know if one of those good teams further down the road would take him in the first round.
Well, the thing is, I mean, as we see, and here's the flip side to it, is that you may not have to be in love with these first-round quarterbacks. The idea of just getting a first-round quarterback is enough for a lot of these teams because they're already freaking out, like we said, about Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. Like, one of the certainties of the NFL draft is you're going to have multiple, probably at least three, sometimes four, quarterbacks taken in the first round just because the quarterback position is so important and the new rookie scale that they put in place, you know, 4 or 5 years ago doesn't keep you hamstrung with your first-round picks. Like, there's no longer a $50 million guaranteed investment with your first-round quarterbacks. There's no longer that. It's easier to move off and admit that you drafted a bust. Like, in the old days, I want to say Blake Bortles would have probably gotten more of a chance in Jacksonville, although he did get plenty of time, I guess. Maybe he's not the right example to use. But someone like Sam Bradford was drafted number one overall and already had like $60 million guaranteed to him. Like, when you drafted him number one overall, you were pretty much stuck with him for a while. Easier to kind of move away, as you're seeing, coincidentally, with Arizona and Josh Rosen. Yeah, we drafted him, but number 10 overall, not that big of a deal. We could get rid of him. I just keep coming back to, if Arizona is the only team really in love with Kyler Murray, and you have someone like Cliff Kingsbury, who was hired for what, Cody?
His looks and the fact that he looks like Sean McVay. He's young. He's an offensive mind. And
well, I was going for the offensive mind.
Yeah, well,
prospect of it, although he is good looking.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's the Sean McVay effect. Even though he didn't work with Sean McVay necessarily, he looks like him, or better maybe.
You know, he probably looks better than McVay.
He's a good looking guy.
Although if I was a woman, I would definitely choose McVay over Kingsbury.
Because of the success.
The success, and McVay seems like less of a mimbo. Seems like less of kind of a douchebag.
Kingsbury's much more of a model type guy.
Kingsbury's a pretty boy, whereas McVay just happens to be a guy who looks good. That's the way I kind of feel.
But McVay's got a little bit of the crazy eyes going.
He does. He does, but every mad scientist does. Every genius does. But to your point, credit, or to your point, credit, to your credit of your point, Cody, people weren't lining up to hire Mike Leach, so you might be onto something with the looks. Because when I think of offensive masterminds, Mike Leach was pretty good too. He's the father of this air raid renaissance. Sort of, kinda.
Where's Cliff Kingsbury from?
I mean, I think Texas. I mean, I think he's a Texas born and bred type of guy.
I think if I'm a woman, I'm going for Kingsbury.
You're going with Kingsbury over McVay?
He seems like I think Kingsbury's a nicer guy.
You think Kingsbury's nicer than McVay?
He's a southern gentleman.
Kingsbury seems more bro.
Yeah, Kingsbury's way too much of a bro.
I think he's a gentleman, though. I think he's a good guy. McVay's from Ohio. McVay seems...
The Rust Belt.
He seems more fiery.
Middle America. Just good blue-collar people up there.
I think Kingsbury's a good southern man.
I mean, McVay's a winner, though. Does that not mean anything?
Yeah, I mean, Kingsbury couldn't even do it with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, he coached college. He coached the strongest arm we've seen in 15 years to a tenth overall pick.
I don't necessarily need a winner.
If Patrick Mahomes had a real coach, he'd have been number one overall. Imagine Patrick Mahomes going to Alabama. You think he is a guy who someone has to trade up for to get at number 10? Or Clemson, maybe. Maybe Nick Saban would just still have
Patrick Mahomes. Then
we'd be watching Patrick Mahomes with the Raiders or somebody, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I like him with the Chiefs.
Well, I'm just saying Kingsbury coached him into a.
Well, I'm not talking about who's a better football coach. Talking about if I'm a woman, who I'd rather date.
I mean, I think if I was a woman, I would be like, hey, I need success.
Well, then I'd like to have Bill Belichick.
I'd like to have the steady
money. Bill Belichick over Kingsbury.
And McVay?
Yeah.
Not as good looking, but if it's just the success you want, you're not going to find anybody better.
With Kingsbury, it could all be over 2 years from now. McVay, at least,
the check could run out.
Yeah, with McVay, you know, you at least got a few years
The check could run out, or you could... get the inheritance when he dies.
He's only 39.
You're looking at a long-term commitment there.
I thought you were talking about Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Belichick's the number one option.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
If you can land him. Is he married?
I don't know if he's married.
Surely Bill Belichick
is married.
I'm
sure Belichick's married.
I believe so.
That's a question we've never asked before.
We've talked about his dating before.
His spouse, Debbie Clark Belichick.
She's younger, right?
She was born in 1977, and he was born in 1952, so
yeah.
Much younger, 25 years younger.
That's a big age gap.
No, I believe we talked about it because the week of the SEC tournament, I said that Uber driver had said that he picked up Bill Belichick and his wife in an Uber and was driving around. We did talk about it.
We have talked about Bill Belichick's wife.
She's 42.
They divorced?
I think his original wife and him divorced, and then he remarried, I think is the story.
Went for the younger woman.
His
current wife's name is not Debbie. That's a different one. That's his original wife. He divorced her in 06, and now he's got a new woman.
Well, Debbie is from Nashville, so I'm all in on Debbie.
I think she's...
Single, probably.
Maybe he got rid of her, and now he just dates.
What did you say, Cam? He's dating Hardcore Holly. Linda Holly.
Hardcore Holly is a man. This is Linda Holiday.
Linda Holiday.
Yeah.
Is Hardcore Holly alive?
Believe so.
I thought he died.
You know, it's really a 50-50. You could really ask me of any old wrestler and whether or not they're alive, we'd have that same exact conversation of, yeah, I think so. Ah, I thought he died.
Most they live a pretty tough life.
No, he's 56 years old. Good. I'm glad to see Hardcore Holly still alive.
Did you see that 25-year-old Princeton valedictorian?
You know, Hardcore Holly was married to a woman named Linda, so there could be a connection.
I think I just said valedictorian. It's valedictorian. Yes. I want to correct myself.
What'd you say?
There's that story that went viral of the 25-year-old Princeton valedictorian who says that she shot her shot. Finally, like one of her resolutions was she was going to take control of her life and shoot her shot. And she asked out her professor.
Really?
Who was 72 years old and now they're engaged.
Wait, what?
She told a story of like basically being in this guy's class and him being a mentor and her, you know, thinking he was such a brilliant man. She said, I graduated from Princeton. I went to Oxford, you know, overseas, over the pond.
Great school, as opposed to Oxford.
She said, as I was there, I just kept thinking about him. I couldn't get him off my mind. And then I realized it was a little deeper. After much reflection and with encouragement from my wonderful friends, I resolved to shoot my shot. And so this September, I asked him out.
She asked out a 72-year-old man.
I believe he was 71 at the time, but said they went on their first date to the Met, walked around looking at art, had dinner, and said he couldn't really tell if it was actually a date or just hanging out. He said, but eventually, they realized it was a date, and
she made sure to let him know it was a date, or what?
Sparks flew.
Really?
Now they are officially engaged.
Do you think they... she probably hooked up with him, or
when she asked him to come upstairs and it wasn't for reading, he knew it wasn't a date.
I mean, I don't know how things are when you get to be that age, but I imagine at 71, wouldn't it be tough?
I'm sure she probably had to go back to his place because going upstairs in an apartment building, not his forte.
I was trying to keep this classy.
It's pronounced fort, by the way. She said, we rambled through the Met like shy teens, eager but tentative, unsure of how to test new boundaries with each other. At last, to our amazement, we broke through. Something then sprouted from a seed that
sure
neither from a seed that neither of us had known we had planted. And we realized that the force of feeling that we'd long had for each other and called by other names, admiration, wonder, devotion, gratitude, held within it the hope and the potential for love.
What is the source of this article?
The New York Post.
Is this from The Onion?
The New York Post. This is her Facebook post from a year and a half ago.
So she's 25.
And he's 72.
And she claims she fell in love with him.
She did.
And he's not a former rock star?
He is. I mean, he's the rock star of his profession. He's a Princeton professor. I mean,
well,
I'd imagine he's a pretty brilliant man. I'd imagine he's a rock star of sorts. I mean, to a certain type of
crowd. Do we have his name?
Lee Clark Mitchell. But you know, if you're going by three names, you got to be smart.
That's true.
I mean, or a serial killer. One of the two.
Credit to him. I just. Normally, the only time you see a 70-year-old with a 25-year-old is an old rock star with a young girlfriend, you know? He looks good
Cameron
for 72.
Cameron gives him a thumbs up.
He's in good health.
Says he looks good for 72.
I would say he's in good health.
I mean, she keeps him young.
What's his name?
Lee Clark Mitchell.
Lee Clark Mitchell.
Department of English.
Oh, yeah, he is a good-looking guy for 72. And she's very attractive.
I wouldn't say very.
I mean,
his email's right here. Should we send him like a congratulations? Like,
if I'm him, I'm like, man, we don't need this story to go viral. Come on.
If my
granddaughter, who is your age, is now really embarrassed.
If the Facebook post was like a year ago, the wedding's got to be close.
Yeah,
I think we should call him up. And honestly, his number's right here.
I mean, the New York Post put this story up yesterday.
Call him on the air.
We just want to congratulate you on your wedding, man.
Is it possible? Do you think it's possible for true love to exist between a 25-year-old and a 72-year-old? I'm not saying she has other motives. I don't know if she does. I don't know.
What's the difference between love and true love?
We're finding forever
just,
love in 2019.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times
this sex was not casual. He did not have other intentions.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times in a situation like this, it's all about the money.
You think it's about the money? You think this woman
I don't know.
Who graduated as valedictorian of Princeton and then got her master's from Oxford, you think she's worried about his money?
That's why I'm asking.
I mean, granted, she was like an English degree, so I mean, maybe she can't just go out and make a lot of it.
Well, no, that's exactly why I'm asking, because usually these situations I think are about the money, but maybe this one isn't.
Oh, okay.
So
I see what you're saying.
So
you're saying the opposite. You're giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Right, right. I'm saying
she is not someone who looks like she is clinging on trying to get saved,
I'm thinking a Princeton master's grad.
Sure.
Yeah.
She may just be attracted to very educated men, smart people.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is it possible for a real love? I mean, they're getting married.
My teacher once told me that doctorates, I mean, he was getting his PhD while in school or whatever, or he was getting ready to go to, and it seemed really weird to me at the time. But he said, doctorate students only date people with doctorates. That's what he told me.
Because they are
smart.
And
I think, I mean, at first, like, That's kind of
pretentious.
Pretentious, but then I was like, you know what? You probably can't just date a dummy. You probably do want to be intellectually stimulated. I feel like, I have always been attracted to someone, at least someone I've deemed as smart as me. And my girlfriend now is way smarter than me. And that's one of the things I like about her. I couldn't date a dummy.
I mean, of course, doctorate.
I'm not a doctorate student or whatever, but. Barely speak English.
I mean, I'm not even a student at all.
I mean, how do we think all those houses get built?
I'm screwed.
You know, those big houses down on the lake. Of course the doctorate students are dating the other doctorate students.
I'm definitely taking Sean McVay second, Bill Belichick first. I don't know if Kingsbury's number three. He might be, but I don't know. If we're doing the whole love, marry, kill thing.
I think
you're killing Kingsbury?
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here, Cliff.
I think Lee Clark Mitchell has had a glow up in his older years. If you look at the younger photos of him, like in his 50s, he had a big goofy mustache and like,
you know, what they say? They say men age fun.
He has a son 4 years younger than her. I bet
that's surprising. I would have thought it was grandson.
Maybe she.
I would have thought it was grandson.
Yeah.
If you're the son.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going on here? Stay with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Tweeter writes in that this professor's ex-wife has to be sick. Yeah, that'd be tough. I believe she's in her 60s. Be tough to see your ex-husband run off with a 25-year-old smarter woman, I assume. Although maybe not. Maybe she's brilliant in herself. I don't know. She's a musician, so she's talented in as an artist.
Yeah. Alex tweets in a love, marry, kill situation.
Okay.
Daenerys Targaryen, Missandei, or Sansa Stark?
We'll say that for a Game of Thrones talk.
Oh, I've already answered on Twitter.
Well, I guess I'll give you my answer during hour two or hour three.
Can't wait to hear your answer on this. I've already made mine public.
Fairly simple. As to
kill Sansa, marry Missandei, and bang Dany.
No.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to be Lord of Winterfell. If you know what I mean.
Of course you would. I'd rather have a happy life with Missandei.
What a weekend! This is another great weekend we got. I mean, April. Can we just say it? Really good. This April has been awesome. This April. Has already ran away with best month of the year, in my opinion.
Benley and I had birthdays.
Great. Had a lot of fun on your birthday. Wow, that was this month. It feels like it was forever ago.
My grandma had a birthday yesterday.
Shout out to Grandma McClure?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Shout out to Granny McClure.
Mimi
McClure.
Yeah, she had a birthday yesterday.
Does she listen to the show?
No, I don't think so. I assume she doesn't. I hope she doesn't.
Your dad listens to the show, right?
He does, yes.
Well, Pops McClure, tell Mimi McClure that John, Cam, and Ben send their happy birthday wishes?
I already told her yesterday.
Belated. You're telling them that we said it too?
No, just me.
Well, then that does us no good.
I doubt she'll ever find out that you guys said happy birthday, but thanks for the good gesture anyway.
I would appreciate it if you'd call her and tell her.
Tell her that you all said happy
right
birthday.
Now.
No.
Just tell her you're on the radio. You can't talk long.
I can't call her right now.
You can't let her rope you. Don't let her rope you into a 30-minute conversation, but I'd appreciate it if you'd call and tell her that your friends, John, Ben, and intern Cam, wish her a belated happy birthday and don't lie to her, but imply that we actually told you yesterday, but you just forgot to pass it along.
She probably would think it's pretty neat that everyone on the radio hears too, you know.
You'd probably make her whole day.
Yeah. I'll let her know later.
I mean, I know she's awake.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. She wakes up like
really
early.
Well, I mean, I know.
She wakes up like 4 in the morning.
I mean, yeah, that's the stereo. There's a reason Hardee's opens at 5.
Yeah. No, I mean, no. She wakes up even earlier than – there were times where she would wake up like 2:33 in the morning.
She'd be waking up when you were still eating pizza rolls. And
oh, yeah. She
Mimi,
I guarantee you.
Mimi, what are you doing?
I guarantee you there have been nights where my Mimi has woken up probably 2 hours before I passed out. Just in a different part of the world. You know, I'm on Eastern time. She's on Central Time, but I guarantee you there have been nights where that happened.
Oh, yeah.
At least 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, the one morning you came in wearing the same clothes from the night before, wide-eyed and, you know, fresh from not sleeping. Let's go ahead and mark that down on the time that Mimi McClure woke up while you were still going at it hard.
She had probably already had lunch by the time I had woken up that day, or by the time I went to sleep. It's just a different lifestyle. I've always wanted to be a morning person. I really have, but I stay up too late in the night.
I'm starting to, like I told you, I'm switching my hours. I've started my book club back. I've been reading. It's
Nerd.
Helped me go to sleep earlier.
Nerd.
Although I didn't do the treatment of DVR in the Warriors-Clippers game because I thought there's no way the Warriors are going to lose to the Clippers, and then they did, and I didn't see it. But shout out to the Yahoo Sports app for a nice 6-minute recap. But I've been waking up earlier.
Best recaps ever, right?
They're so good.
You've been waking up earlier?
Yeah.
How early?
I mean, not like crazy early, but, you know,
six?
Yesterday I woke up. No. Yesterday, you know. Usually, I don't really get up and out of bed till like 8:15. But now, that's no more. 7 a.m., I'm up. 7:15 at the latest.
What do you think is officially early for a normal person?
6.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That would be my number, 6 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend is usually out of the house by 7. So she's up by like 6:15 or so.
Normal people do that.
Successful people. One of the keys to being
It's not
successful.
Always just successful people, but people that go to work early, you know?
I mean, people that go to work early are usually successful. Usually. I'd say there's a pretty good
There's
correlate.
A lot of fields where people go to work early and they're
not. Well, sure, but I just mean, if your job requires you to start that early, that's different. But
when I worked at Hardee's back in the day, I went in at like 6 a.m., and I don't think you would have considered me to be successful. Especially because I only went in for like a week and a half, and then they never heard from me again.
Did you just no-show?
Yeah.
Did you get your check?
I'm a horrible person. I've quit a lot of jobs that way. Just don't come back. Block their number and just, that part of my life is over.
Strong move.
I mean, what am I going to do? Give them another 2 weeks? Like, I'm ready to quit today. I'm quitting today.
I can't take another minute of this.
It's never ended well. It's a good way to keep from being fired, though.
I mean, Kyler Murray sort of kind of pulled this. Like, Kyler Murray is auditioning for the biggest job of his life, right? I mean, being quarterback, being the face of a franchise is probably as big as it's going to get for Kyler Murray, right?
Like, yes.
If he's the number one pick, throughout history, he will be thought of as the face of this class, right? I mean, it's just kind of, you're the first quarterback taken. For better or worse, this will be the Kyler Murray draft.
Of course.
And Kyler Murray looked around and decided, you know what, I'm good. Because I believe 21 prospects were invited to do this big NFL charity thing. And Kyler Murray said, I'm good. Quote, I got places. He had, the report came from an Arizona report that said, quote, he had other places to be. As every other green room invitee made the trip, Kyler Murray was just like, nope, got other places I need to be. I'm not doing that charity event in Nashville. No thanks.
Is Kyler Murray the most polarizing two-sport athlete since Bo Jackson?
I mean, who's even in contention there?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
I mean, I
thought you'd know.
I mean, no one else has really tried to play. I mean, Deion Sanders was polarizing, but, I mean, he wasn't good at baseball. I mean, it was fine.
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan was technically a two-sport athlete.
Well, yeah, but
he was bad at baseball.
What do you mean by polarizing?
Michael Jordan's obviously the most polarizing.
But to me, polarizing means you have opposite feelings about him. Is that not what polarizing means?
Yeah.
To me, polarizing means some people really love him, some people really hate him.
Two ends of the spectrum.
Is that the definition of polarizing?
North Pole, South Pole type of thing. Hot, cold.
Opposites. I
mean, not hot, yeah.
So divisive.
To me, polarizing was like LeBron James circa 2013, 14, 15, 16. Now it's back, 18, 19. Like, how do you feel about LeBron James? Russell Westbrook, polarizing.
I always looked at the word polarizing as, like, someone you're kind of in awe of. Just like, wow.
Maybe I'm wrong on this.
No. But you're right on this. Polarizing means, like, two different ends. Like, whenever that random, you know, Fox Sports Knoxville Awards came out, and Bear was best and worst co-host, that's a polarizing figure.
That's the way I've always looked at it.
I was voted best co-host.
Well, I guess he was runner-up, but like it was like...
For the record.
You know, he was on...
Whoever made that anonymous Twitter account.
He was listed as both.
For the haters and losers on the Periscope, you see.
We have the best co-host. Actual host.
Hardware. Not your stupid little Twitter poll.
That thing's heavy.
Yeah! I can't wait bust somebody in the head with it.
What's that made out of?
I'm hoping... I mean,
iron?
Not to get ahead of myself, but my plan is to win this year, too, and then show up to the award ceremony with this plaque from last year, and then have two and just walk around with them. That's my plan.
You're hoping to go back-to-back?
Yeah, not to get ahead of myself. I'm really hoping that my work at 2019 can help me go back-to-back.
When is the voting for this year?
I don't know.
That's something we need to actually keep track of this year.
Well, not to go off on a tangent, but yes, because I didn't get invited to the actual ceremony.
Yeah.
The crooked.
They probably knew you'd cause a scene.
The crooked Knoxville News Sentinel and all their corporate sponsors.
Hey, they gave you that award.
And there were like three John Reeds on there.
That what? Yeah, I was nominated for a couple things. Best gay club for Reed's Ranch.
Yeah.
Reed's Ranch was up for best gay club in town.
I wish it would have won.
Maybe this year.
We could do some content with that.
Maybe this year. The crooked Knoxville News Sentinel didn't invite me to the award ceremony. They didn't want to see me shine and give my speech.
They didn't want us on the red carpet.
We need to make sure that Reed's Ranch wins best gay club this year. Just to slap them in the face. You know?
I know
just
a lot of haters and losers.
I could have a double meaning.
We're wondering what I would say if I didn't go back to back. If I didn't win best radio host at Knoxville. I guess we'll never know. That'll be my speech. Shout out to Kanye and the Grammys.
I'll be there for the speech.
Yeah, you'll be my plus one.
I'll be there in support.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to get ahead of ourselves.
Ah, you'll win again.
Thanks, man.
I'm sure of it.
So polarizing to me means opposites. You are either loved or hated. Talk sports. Kind of polarizing.
Very polarizing.
Some people are like, oh my God, I love John and Cody. Others are like, oh, these guys are idiots.
Many people are like, this is horrible. I cannot listen to this. But many others love it.
Yeah. Can't get enough of it.
Those are the only ones that matter.
Sure. We only like the only like the people who like us. The other people, first of all, they are nobodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But us, we're good. The people who love us, we love them.
So why were we talking about the word polarizing?
You asked if Kyler Murray was the most polarizing two-sport athlete. I don't know what the hell that means.
Ah. I meant, is he the biggest?
Yeah. I mean, again, unless you, I mean, Michael Jordan, but he was, Kyler Murray's not even a two-sport athlete anymore. Like, no one cares what you do in college. He played baseball in college.
But could he play baseball in the pros?
I mean, probably. Yeah, I mean, he could. They were going to give him a lot of money, too.
Well, I know that. I mean, could he do both at the same time?
No, I don't think any NFL franchise would say, yes, you could be our franchise quarterback and play baseball. No. Like, Deion Sanders was allowed to do it because they pretty much told Deion Sanders, you're going to come in and steal bases. You'll play a little outfield here and there, but you're not really going to be playing baseball. And you're not our quarterback, so it's fine.
The Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson, big difference. Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson comparison's really interesting to
me. Did Bo Jackson play baseball while playing football? I thought he retired football to play baseball.
Yeah, I don't think you can play them both at the same time.
Well, this was a good talk. I'm glad you brought this up.
Who do you think's better, Michael Jordan or Bo Jackson?
Who do you think's better, Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson?
Better at what? Singing, dancing, or
at
playing basketball?
At their respective field.
Who's more dominant in their respective field?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think you got to go Jordan. I think you go Jordan there. Because when you think basketball, if I show you a round orange basketball, you can look at it and say, wow, Michael Jordan.
But if I
hand you a microphone, you're not going to automatically say Michael Jackson.
When I think of pop music, I do.
But there's still people who were not as good as Michael, but were dominant. You know, like Whitney Houston.
LeBron James. Shaq.
Yeah, but Michael Jordan never did he never had Neverland Ranch.
Some people say Michael Jordan got his dad killed from a gambling debt.
Fair point. I think Michael Jordan is still.
Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.